So we left off yesterday discussing the machlokes of Rishonim, whether at the end of the day, yesh binyan istir b'kelim or ain binyan istir b'kelim. We have different gemaras pointing in different directions, as we just mentioned. So it came out halacha, really a machlokes of Rishonim, machlokes of Shulchan Aruch and the Gra. Shulchan Aruch was machmir, like that opinion in Tosfos, that fundamentally there is binyan istir b'kelim. The only time ain binyan istir b'kelim is on very, very shvach kelim. Gemara coined the phrase a mustiki, something like a barrel, which is made up of half-broken pieces that are kind of glued together, well, then we can argue ain stira b'kelim. But otherwise, a real bona fide kli, there would be a problem of stira. And the grub was making like the other shrubs. And no, what the emphasis is that ain bin b'kelim, ain stira b'kelim, maybe if it's a giant kli, maybe, okay, then we can negotiate. But if it's a regular small kli, so that even though it's a sturdy kli, the halach would be ain bin ain stira b'kelim. So we mentioned at the very end of the shiur yesterday that this shaila now comes up in terms of the application concerning cans. So what is it then? The person wants to open a can on Shabbos. Would this be a problem of bona? Would this be a problem of sosir? So Rabbi Shafeinstein has a long tshuva about this. Both at the beginning of the tshuva and the end of the tshuva, he ends up at the same point. He starts off the tshuva by saying, of course you should open everything before Shabbos. Then he concludes by saying, of course you should open everything before Shabbos. But let me tell you what the real din is. And he tells you 10 pages why maybe it's mutter. So we have to go through, we're not going to go through the 10 pages, we're just going to go through the Rashi Prakim, just in terms of analyzing what the issues are, really based on everything that we've been talking about. So Ramesh is in thrust, the entire tshuva is working with one assumption. Ramesh's assumption is that if there's going to be a malacha involved, so it's going to be the malacha of Soser. Because Ramosh is viewing a can as already an existing entity. It's already a kli. It's like the chavis of old. And the question becomes, just as the Gemara says, shova adam as a chavis, so maybe we could say, shova adam as a tuna fish can. But to break the tuna can, to break the sardine can, to break the packages, so maybe one could argue would be the halach equivalent of the shover of the mesachavis. That was Ramosha's entire premise. To which then Ramosha goes and says, well, wait a second, let's see. What does that mission really mean? What are the parameters of shover of the mesachavis? So he highlights the machlekes of Rishonim, how some of the Rishonim took that Mishnah as being an all-encompassing statement, that shover of the mesachavis is totally, completely mutter, and any gemaras and any indications to the contrary are not really true. Either those are talking about very, very large kelim, or they're talking about stone kelim that can't physically be broken, like Yerushalmi from yesterday. But the basic principle, the entire sugya says, Ramosha, at least the one that some of them showed him, is that yes, shover adam sechavis is actually mutar lechetchila. On the other hand, Ramosha says, that the other half of the Rishonim say that no, not so simple. Shover adam sechavis is not an absolute statement. It's very, very limited and only applies to a mustaki, to a half broken kli. Should we call a can a half-broken kli? I don't know. I'm not so sure about that. Can's pretty sturdy. Doesn't look like the pieces of the tuna fish can are being held together with glue, like the broken pieces of the barrel. So maybe one can argue, it's possible one can argue, that according to the Rishon or Machmir, that a full-fledged stira would apply, then this would be a problem in terms of opening a can. So Ramosha says, how do we paskin? Ramosha goes, everything we said took us 40 minutes yesterday, it's taking us 2 minutes today. It took Ramosha 10 pages. So he says, Tosfos held in one way, and then Tosfos another way, and around this way, Shulchan Aruch paskin that way, the Gra the other way. At the end of the day, Ramosha throws his hands up and says, it's a little bit of a smeik of the din. It's very hard to give a clear hachra on this. It sounds like it's a machlekes in the Rishon. It sounds like it's a machlekes in the Shulchan Aruch and the Gra had a paskin. He says, he can't just be mata, opening a can just like that. This is a shaila, potential shaila of malacha derais, potential shaila of sosir. But then, like Ramosha Kedarka B'Kedesh, if you give me the whole background, all the pilpul back and forth, then Ramosha comes from left field. Comes Ramosha and says, but I think it's mutter for a totally different reason. Forget about it. Everything I just said is nice, it's a shaila, it's a machlek, it's a safik, but there's something else that we haven't even begun to discuss, and that's another part of the sugya. And that appears in the 14th of the Marma Kamos. So the Shulchan Aruch in Sibin Shin Yudalit Siv Ches in the 14th of the Marma Kamos is actually, it's really a quote from Gemara Masech Shabbos, just with the Shulchan Aruch and the Rishonim, a little bit of elaboration upon it. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Marmokam 14, Chosolos Perish Mine Kelim Shal Tamarim V'Grogros Ima Kisoy Kosher B'Chevel Matir V'Sos V'Shashos V'Chevel V'Chotech V'Afilu B'Sakin V'Afilu Gufan Shal Chosolos. If a person has a kli made of out of chosolos, which Shulchan Aruch isn't quoted directly from Rashi. Rashi explains that it's made up of branches, leaves, like lulav branches, or something like a basket of leaves, and is used to store these foods. So one is permitted to open it up on Shabbos, one's permitted to break through it on Shabbos. Shekolzeh kamosha shover egoz moshkeidim kdei lita la'ochel shebehem. Because to open up these chosalos is like cracking a nut on Shabbos. Nobody would say it's also to crack a nut on Shabbos. No. Truth to be told, we spoke about this already 2 years ago. We spoke about issues of Beirer and issues of Dosh. So those are technical issues that can be overcome if it's done for right away, etc. But nobody ever said, oh, it's a new Chumrah. It's an Issa to crack a nut on Shabbos. It's also because of Soser. Because here the shell is a Kli, and now you're breaking the Kli. So that's Aser al Soser. So that's absurd. So comes the Shulchan Aruch, and quoting from Rashi in the Gemara on Shabbos, that makes this comparison between the Chosolos, these kinds of makeshift kelim that are used to store the foods, to the example, to the model of the egozim, of cracking the nuts on Shabbos, that somehow it's not a problem of Soser. The problem is the Gemara doesn't explain why exactly that's true. What's the connection between the two? So Moshe says he thinks the answer is very simple. He says that when do we say that something is considered to be a kli, and now is potentially subject to malachas? That's if it's something which is an independent kli. It was made, I make a barrel, sorry. I use the barrel to fill up this barrel of wine, and then I'll finish this barrel of wine, I'll fill up another barrel of wine. I constantly use it for many, many different usage. So if I go ahead and I take this existing kli, and I break it, so then we have to negotiate sos here. Now again, whether yei stibur kelim, ein stibur kelim, that's everything we spoke about up until now. But if you have something which is a quote-unquote kli, but the whole goal of this kli is just to protect this particular food, it's easy come, easy go. You're not going to reuse it. It's something that was miyuchel lekach just for this food. So comes the Mishnah and says it's a whole different category. That's chosalos, and chosalos are halachically not considered to be a kli. They're considered to be bottle to the food. It's considered to be like a peel. It's considered to be like a shell of a nut. It's not considered to have the halachic status of a kli. It's almost like ochel itself. It's toffel. It's bottle to the ochel, and therefore you can't even begin to discuss the malacha of soser. So if you have an independent functioning kli, and now you happen to be using that to protect something right now, then we can negotiate. Yes, dear, ain't dear, too big, too small, bustigi, not mustigi. But if the whole entity was only being used for this particular food, and it's going to be discarded afterwards, that's not called the shame kli altogether. So comes with Moshe and says, we can extrapolate from this now to a can. A can is made by the company for one purpose and one purpose alone, to protect this tuna fish. When you're finished with this tuna fish, so you throw it to the garbage. So comes the Moshe and says, it's not Soser. For the first 10 pages of the Tshuva, he was assuming it's potentially Soser. Now let's figure out whether Yesh Tuba Kelim, Ain Tuba Kelim, 2 days in Taisa, Shechonach and Grah. Then says Rosh Vyayji Shleimar, it's not Soser, because it wasn't a clue, because it was nothing. The whole Malach of Soser is not Nitan to these kinds of things. This idea of Ramosha, that you can have something which looks to us like a utensil. It doesn't look to us like a food. No one's eating the can of tuna fish, but halachically it's almost considered to be bottle. It's almost considered to be part of the food. This is a theme that Ramosha has, not just in Uchas Shabbos. He has the same idea in Uchas Kashas, Uchas Tefillas Kelim as well. There's a big machlekes aposkim about if a person wants to reuse a kli. Person goes to the store, and you buy food that's inside a kli. So you buy food that's inside a metal can. You buy something that's inside a glass jar or something. So are you permitted to use it without tefillas kelim? So the Chazanish had a very, very big chumra that I don't think maybe in Rebrach they follow, but I don't think most people follow. Chazanish held that if you go to the store and you buy a jar of coffee, so you're not allowed to use that jar of coffee to keep the coffee that you just bought in, because that's called using a kli without tefillin. So the Chazanish held that any time you buy coffee in a jar, the first thing you have to do is when you get home, empty out all the coffee, bring the jar to the mikveh, and then you can fill it up again with the coffee. So I don't think, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, I don't think most people follow that view. So we usually assume that that's not really called using the kli. I didn't put the coffee into the kli, the coffee was there already now. Every time I take a little bit of coffee out of the kli, so then I'm just removing the coffee from the jar. I'm not really using the jar for anything. That's what I think most people are assuming. But what if I finished the jar already, and now I want to use it for something else? Well, let's say, not so far-fetched, you buy a bottle of wine, and now you finished using the bottle, now you want to reuse the bottle for something. Or you buy a bottle of Snapple. So we assume that you could drink the Snapple, you're drinking down, I emptied it, and I want to refill it. I want to fill it up with water or something, fill it up with juice. So what's the din? So there's some poskim who said you have to teufel it. because now you can no longer hide behind the Chokim and the Chazon Ish. Those who disagree with the Chazon Ish were of the opinion that, well, I'm not actively doing anything, I'm just removing the coffee from the where it was beforehand, so that's not called using a kli without tefillah. But if you go and fill the kli over again, that's considered to be a potential problem. So Rabbi Yishe had a chiddush. Rabbi Yishe said, no, maybe that's not a problem for the following reason. When the bottle was made, when the snapple was made, so it was made to protect this snapple, it was made to protect this grape juice, it was made to protect this wine. So it didn't really have a shame of kli. Ayin, what he wrote in this tshuva. I mean, it's not called the kli yet. It's called just the protection of a food. It's almost like the nut of a food. It's like the peel of a fruit. When does it take on the status of being a kli? You decided to start to reuse it. So you're taking something which wasn't the kli, and now in your mind transforming it to be a kli. That's fine. But it happened when it belonged to you. That's called nasa kli b'yad Yisrael. The only time a kli is required to have tefillas kelim is if it was made as a kli or owned at one time as a kli by a non-Jew. But here, when the non-Jew, when Mr. Snapple owned it, it wasn't a kli. It was a shell of a nut. Now, when you empty out, you finish treating your snapple and you refill it, so you're making it into a kli. That's perfect. That's okay. That's nasa tachas Yisrael. Like when you go, you know, when you buy the Hamish, you know, urns, the water urns. So they say on it, you know, nasa mabailos Yisrael v'yein tzarech tefillah. So according to Ramesh, you can put that sticker on your snapple bottle. Nasa mabailos Yisrael. Nasa mabailos Yisrael. I don't know how to make a snapple bottle. Nah, api didn't. In Lori side, that's called nasa mabailos Yisrael because api alocha, you know, yeah, it became a kli under the authority of a Jew. So that idea Ramesh has in tefillas kelim is pretty much the same idea as he's having here in terms of opening the cans on Shabbos. So I come upon him, Ramesh's thrust of his tshuva is, he starts off the tshuva by strongly recommending to open everything from beforehand. Then he takes his attempt to try to be matrid based on two different reasons. First is, according to the Gron, according to one day Antosis, according to Hefta Rishonim, it's mutter because steer is always mutter by kelim, even by non-mustagis. And then he says, and even according to the Machmirim, who he thinks we should probably be chashish for, but maybe have his other svar in terms of Mustagi, and then he, in terms of Chosalos. And then at the end, he concludes his true by saying, well, you know, it's not so sure, it's a chiddush. No one said it before me. So it's better the chachil, you should try to open up your cans. But you get the impression from Aisha that Me'ikamikra Din, he held the combination of his svara, plus the fact that after Hashem will matter, even without his svara, you thought the Mikra Din, that would be okay.
Right, the Gemara's case itself is over. Adam is a chavis. We also man.
No, but the problem is that he have to Hashem learn that's only a mustiki.
Even if you learn it the way he wants to learn it, that it's just a shell.
No. But he wouldn't say that by the chavis because the chavis is something that you really do reuse. Uh-huh. So he's saying it only by those kinds of kelim that were really made miyuchad lekach for this food.
Or other folks can point out that second issue of emotion, that you're making something when you open the can. Okay.
So you must come from Bnei Brak. Hold on, I'm going to give you the other side of the story. So this entire thrust of Ramosha was working with the assumption. The assumption was that the can, the way it is sitting on the shelf in the store, is basically a kli, or maybe according to the second chiddush of Ramosha, it's not yet a kli, but it's basically a kli. And the only malacha that's on the, it's for question, is the malacha of Sozer. So comes the Chazon Ish and says that let's look at cans. Chazon Ish at the piece preceded Rav Moshe's Tshuva. Chazon Ish says, no, let's look at cans from a totally different vantage point. Comes the Chazon Ish and says, what is a can? Imagine, both standing, the wife sent him to the store. They're both looking at a can in different ways. Rav Moshe looked at a can as something that exists, and now opening it breaks it. Chazon Ish said, a can? It's a can. A can is a worthless piece of metal. What do you do with it? You can't put anything into it until it has something in it already, but I can't, it doesn't function. I can't get anything in, I can't get anything out. It's just a piece. It's a goylem shomatech, as he calls it. Like a goylem. It's a clump of metal. What can you possibly do with it? What makes this can begin to be functionable? Says the Chazon Ish, you take your can opener, now you start to open it up. Well, wait a second. That's a whole different story. Now, I could potentially store my tuna fish in the can. I could potentially take it out of the can. I could put something else in the can. Now I have something functioning. Now I have something usable. It's not a girdle shematechas anymore. So says the Chazon Ish, we've been spending the last 20 minutes learning the raw malacha. We shouldn't be learning the malacha of Sosa. We should be learning the malacha of Baina.
I could use it as a paperweight. I could put it to some type of use.
Okay. I guess they didn't use cans for paperweights in Bnei Brak, I guess. I don't know. That's like the poskim told by Nochas Muktzah. There's always that claim. How can anything be Muktzah? It can always be a paperweight. Tanya says, well, when was the last time you ever used the paperweight? On a winter day. So comes the Chazon Ish and says, the opening of a can is not Malachas Sais at all. It's the opposite. It's Malachas Bona. Okay, so that shouldn't get us too concerned that it's Bona, because after all we've been saying, well, Yesh Tira, Yesh Binyan, Ein Tira, Ein Binyan. So it's the same thing. So we'll just plug in everything we said and call it Malachas Bona. No, not so fast, as the Chazon Ish. He says, because once you enter into the realm of Bona, so now you have something else to be concerned with. Remember yesterday we pointed out that the Gemara says, Masechet Shabbos, if you take the blade of a shovel, you take the wooden handle of a shovel, and you take a peg, and you combine them all together, Chai Mishum Bona, or Mishum Bona, was literally what the Gemara says. Yeah, it's something to do with Bona. So most of the Rishonim said, wait a second, Mishum Bona, what happened to Ein Binyan B'Kelem? So we already saw yesterday that some Rishonim had some unique pshat in the Gemara. So some Rishonim said, nah, that Gemara Shalok Halach. That Gemara is following the opinion Yesh Binyan B'Kelem. And we saw the Sefer Yoreim we spoke about yesterday, who said, Mishum Bona doesn't mean you're really chai of Mishum Bona. Mishum Bona means, by the way, it's not Machmeh Patish. It's not really Bona either. Those are the unique pshat in the Rishonim. But the simple pshat of the Gemara is that Mishum Bona means your mamish chayim and ator Mishum Bona. So what happened to Ein Binyan B'Kelem? So we saw yesterday the Ramban. We spoke about the Ramban and the Ran, who say, no, chayim Mishum Bona, even though Ein Binyan B'Kelem, this is called Osa Kli Mechadosh. This is called making a kli. Making a kli. That's the worst. You can't get more bona than making a kli. You take the different pieces, you take the raw materials, and you go ahead and you form, you make a kli. There's no way you can close your eyes and say, Ein Binyan B'Kelem. That's called Eisek Li Mechadosh. Eisek Li Mechadosh is for sure Chai Mishum Bona. So comes the Chazon Ish and says, I'm so convinced that the opening of a can is Bona, it's the worst kind of Bona, because I'm taking a piece of junk, namely what I just called a minute ago, a Golem Shomoteches. It's a worthless clump of metal, and all of a sudden, I'm making it into something functionable. So comes the Chazon Ish and says, that's no different. A person taking metal, imagine I go take scraps of metal and form a can out of it, make something out of it. So that would be called bone esekli, or sekli mechadash. Says the Chazon Ish, that's exactly what you're doing. When you open up a can of tuna fish, you're taking a worthless piece of metal and making it into a kli, thereby violating osekli mechadash. There is some Rishon who say that osekli mechadash is also not bone. Rashi seemed to say that. The Sefer Yoreim said that. Those says the Chazon Ish, those are already minority views in the Rishonim. That wasn't the conventional wisdom. Conventional wisdom was like the Ramban and the Ran, that if you osek li mechadosh, that's a very, very serious problem. And we know that the Chazon Ish was a very, very big believer in this idea of osek li mechadosh being an outright issur d'oraisa. Hopefully we'll talk about this in shurim to come. This was the theory of the Chazon Ish behind electricity. This is the Chazon Ish's big chiddush about electricity, that electricity is an issur of boina, because the Chazon Ish held that it's almost like l'shitasa by the cans. It's the same way, you're looking at a can, what are you going to do with a can? A can is worthless the way it is. So the Chazon Ish says, look at a fan, look at a vacuum cleaner, look at an electric appliance, the way it is. It's not plugged in, it's not turned on. What is it? What are you going to do with it? What could you possibly do with a vacuum cleaner unless there's electric current going? Paperweight, big paperweight, yeah, hold your house down. So comes the Chazon Ish, says it's a worthless piece of junk. So now, what do you do? All of a sudden, it's like the Nevuah of Yecheskel. You have the Yatzama Seyavishas, and the dry bones, and it's not going, nothing's happening until the Rebbe Shalom comes and sends the Ruach. The wind comes, and all of a sudden, everything jumps to life. So the Chazon Ish, he doesn't give that mashal, but the Chazon Ish says, you have a vacuum cleaner, and you're looking at, imagine a person out of space. He's trying to figure out, what do these people on Earth do with a vacuum cleaner? So it doesn't do anything. Somebody turns on, all of a sudden, our Ruach, the electric car comes through. So hocus pocus, at Chesed Meisim. So the Chazon Ish said, you just made a kli. You just formed a vacuum cleaner. You took the pieces, you gave it to Kirk, you gave it to Chiyus, and now it's a vacuum cleaner. That's called it. Osek Kli Mechadosh. So again, we're going to hopefully talk about that. Those who agree, disagree with the Chazon Ish in terms of the Chashmal, but the same, it's the same theory. The Chazon Ish had this idea of looking at a kli, Basher Husham, it's worthless. You do something to it to give it now an ability to function. That is the ultimate bite. That's the Osek Kli Mechadosh that most of the Rishonim hold would in fact be an Issur D'oraisa.
With the tuna can, as soon as I open it, I'm throwing it in the garbage.
Okay, hold on. So the starting point of the Chazon Ish is that the opening of the sardine, he's talking about the sardine cans, the tuna cans, the starting point is it's an issur d'oraisa of bonev osek l'michadosh, unlike Rav Moshe. But then the Chazon Ish goes one step further. He raises your question. He says, well, wait a second. Is this really bonev? Bonev is presupposing I'm going to use what I'm building. If I'm not going to use it, so then maybe we can hide behind almost like a psikreshet lo nichale kind of a thing. Or maybe we can say even better than that. Maybe we can say that there are certain malachas that if I don't have in mind to use, it may undermine the very malach itself. Maybe that's not even called bina if it's not being done with Torah's usage. So the Chazish addresses that, and he says, no. He says, when you open up a sardine can, what do you mean you're not going to use it? Everybody knows, says the Chazanit, writing in, I don't know whether he wrote this in Bnei Brak in the 40s or in Vilna in the 20s, but the Chazanit says, you open up a tuna fish can, tuna fish didn't have Bnei Brak in the 40s, you open up a sardine can, you take out the sardines, you wash out the can, and then that's where you store your pennies. That's where you store your pins and needles. That's the Chazanish writes. He says, so if you're reusing the can, everybody knows that you reuse the can. Of course, leads us to believe, wait a second, now maybe things have changed a little bit since Bnei Brak of the 1940s. Most people today, I imagine, when they open up their tuna cans, don't bother washing them and storing their loose change in the tuna fish can. So maybe one could argue that now that we, Bizman, are discarding a tuna fish can, so then our shayla is not so serious, according to the Chazanish. So that becomes a little bit tricky, because that goes back to what I mentioned before. Well, I'm doing X, and Y is happening. The can is becoming functional. The fact that I'm choosing not to use the can, so that's my prerogative, but I did open a can, so I did make a kli, and now I'm choosing to discard the kli, so that may smack of what we call a psikreshet lo nichale. It means I've done X, and X is okay. It means there's nothing per se wrong with quote-unquote opening up the can. The issue of opening up the can is the bona as I can, but maybe for me, I'm not interested in the bona as I can, so maybe that's called the psikreshet lo nichale. Now, psikreshet lo nichale, as we've spoken about many, many times over the years, is not quite mutter. It's a machlekes that we've shown him. It's not a deraisa, but it's the loss of the rabbanon, at least the way we paskin. Shulchan Aruch me'machmeh that psikreshet lo nichale is still prohibited with the rabbanon. So maybe one could argue that to open up a can, even though you're going to discard the can, according to the Chazanish's way of looking at things, I can't call it deraisa maybe, but I can still possibly call it a derabbanon. Unless one wants to argue, like I mentioned before, that there are certain malachas that maybe the not having in mind to do it almost undermines the very malacha. It's like by Machabeh Patish, there is some Rishon who say that if you fix something, but you're not even thinking about that you're fixing it, that's not your goal altogether. Your goal is entirely different. There are certain malachas that are just not susceptible to the idea of a psikresha. Psikresha just doesn't fit for certain malachas because kavana is such an integral part of the malacha. We'll say chora is a reya, so maybe a kavan is not such an integral part. The bone, machlapathish, those kinds of malachas, whether or not it's a kli, ultimately depends upon whether you wanted it to be a kli. So it could be that if segregation doesn't apply, then maybe things would be better bizman as that. So one thing we could say, according to Chazanish for sure, that in the olden days when they would actually reuse the kli, that was a serious, serious problem of baina. Bizman as that, it's less of a problem of baina. I didn't say it's mutter, it's less of a problem of baina. Maybe one could minimize things according to the Chazanish if you do as follows. What if I open the kli, rather than taking the tuna fish out and throwing the can into the garbage, maybe I open the can in such a way that it was never really functional. There wasn't even a moment in time when this can could have served as a kli. So not just that I personally don't want it, I'm going to discard it, but even not just mitzad gavra. Mitzvah chetza, that the chetza, the can, was never really a kli. So thus begins the practice of certain people when they open up certain packages and cans, so they try to open them in a way that even if you would want to store something, you couldn't. So you start opening the can a little bit from the top, then you start opening a little bit from the bottom, and then the water gets all over you, then you start opening a little bit more from the top, a little more from the bottom, your wife is screaming a little bit louder, you hear it? And at the end of the day, you got the can open, but there was never one moment in time when you could have actually done anything, because now you don't even have a bottom of a can. You don't even have a gurum shematechas. You have a half open on both sides type of a can. So maybe one can argue that may be a little bit better. Now again, even though it may be a very klutzy way of opening up cans, but a lot of what we're discussing may not be limited only to cans. A lot of this may carry over to other kinds of containers as well. So putting aside any other potential malachas, let's take everything we said about a can and plug it into a bag of potato chips. So a person wants to open up a bag of potato chips on Shabbos, so what is he doing exactly? So according to Rav Moshe, maybe what he's doing is soser. According to the Chazanish, maybe what he's doing is bona. Because when you have a bag of potato chips, it's a closed bag, it's a sealed bag. What do you do with it? Paperweights. What are you going to do with a bag of potato chips? What can you possibly do with a closed, sealed bag of potato chips? Oh, you open up the bag. Ooh, you're opening up the bag. Now you've done something. Now you've accomplished something. But now it's a problem. So the bag of potato chips may be significantly worse than the can of tuna fish, because when you take out the potato chips, unless you have a lot of people over, you're not emptying out the bag. You may be taking out some of the bag, some of the potato chips, but you're leaving some of the potato chips behind in the bag. That's a big problem. According to Chazon Ish, that's a potential shaila of a, believe it or not, according to Chazon Ish, that may be a deraisa, because the Chazon Ish looked at the closed sealed bag as a nothing, as a golem shell paper. Now you open it up, it becomes a functional kli. And not only is it a theoretically functional kli, you personally are functioning. You personally are using that bag of potato chips. I didn't say also yet. I said, according to Chazon Ish, that could be a real, real serious shala. That could be the modern day equivalent of the tuna fish cans in Bnei Brak of the 1940s, because you're reusing it, or you're continuing to use it. You're using it as a functional open and closed bag now. That could be a big problem. So how would one minimize that concern? Well, if you take all the potato chips out. Now, if you just take the potato chips out and throw the bag into the garbage, so that's better than continuing to use the bag, but not perfect yet, because we said before, even according to the Chazon Ish, it may still be also because of Psik Reish Lo Nichaleh.
The potato chips is no different than when you take out a little coffee, where you say nobody holds like the Chazon Ish, that potato chip situation.
No, so
if you're just leaving potato chips in there, it's like the coffee where you're just taking it, where you're just taking out some coffee
so that,
and leaving the rest.
But these two areas of halacha are not necessarily identical. Because I know you're from the Lower East Side, so you saw Tefillas Kelim and Shabbos through the same lens with Moshe. It's not so partial that it's the same thing. It could be that I made a kli. It now is a functioning kli. It's just that's not called being mishtamish with a kli for Tefillas Kelim. Tefillas Kelim means I take a knife and I start cutting my meat. I take a cup and I pour juice into the cup. Here, it's almost passive. My usage of the kli is passive, so that may not be enough to be mechayim into this kelim, but lemaisa made a kli. So it may be different. Shabbos and Tzitzkei may perhaps be different. So again, I didn't say also according to the Chazon Ish. I'm just saying that anytime you're opening up a can or package, you have to look at it through a totally different lens. It's not the lens of Sosir, according to Rabbi Ish. It's the lens of Bonet, which is significantly more chamor, because we have this Osikli Mechadish in the back of our minds. So hopefully, Mezah Shem, on Friday, we'll try to...
Why doesn't he call it, the Chazon Ish call it a Makabepatish?
Oh, very good, excellent. So that touches on a question that we haven't yet got to, because you haven't even begun Makabepatish yet. Hopefully, Mezah Shem, in a bunch of sugars down the line, we're going to try to see where Bonet ends and Makabepatish begins, and vice versa. Hopefully, Mezah Shem, that's a very, very, it's a major point for the relationship between these two Balaam.